In a world of conflicting values, where questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Join us now for the Word for Life, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church and hosted by Pastor Greg Huffman, as he shares the truth for the day.
Good morning and welcome to the Word for Life Radio Ministry. I'm Pastor Greg Huffman. It's always a joy to have you join us on these morning sessions. And I trust that you're just committing your day to the Lord. This is the day the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. I want to talk to you the next couple of times about the proper motivation to be serving the Lord. I want to kind of focus our attention on what hasn't worked down through the years, what's been tried during the great church growth years, decades of folks trying this and trying that to cause the churches to grow. Somebody said, you know, when all else fails, follow instructions. So we go back to the Word of God. And Luke chapter 9, the Lord Jesus is teaching his disciples, and he is at the end of his earthly ministry, and so he's done teaching the crowds. He is now just teaching the disciples, and he has just told them in verse 22 of Luke 9, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and the chief priests and scribes and be slain and be raised again the third day. And then he said to them all, verse 23, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? Wow. He's just talking about dying. And then he says, if any man wants to come after me, the first thing he must do is deny himself and then take up his cross. Now notice it says daily. Daily. In other words, it's like the cross is not a symbol to wear on the lapel of our suit or something to wear in a necklace, but the cross is actually something in our hearts and minds that we take up every day and we carry. And when we reach a point during the day that we just want to express the old nature, our flesh, we just kind of want to give people a piece of our mind. Jesus is basically saying that's where you plant the cross, you get on it, and you die to yourself. You die to yourself. That's what it means to deny yourself. In other words, Jesus, others, and then yourself. J-O-Y. Spells joy, doesn't it? And of course, in this chapter, he is teaching his disciples some very interesting things. He says in verses 22 to 24, to deny yourself. If you want to be a follower of Jesus, you deny yourself. Then in verses 46 to 48, he said, you die to fame. You die to fame. He was talking to the disciples and says in verse 46, then there arose a reasoning among them, which of them should be greatest? Fame. Who'll be the most famous? Who will everybody be talking about in 50 years, in 100 years? And Jesus said, if you want your life to count for anything, not only die to yourself, but die to your fame. Die to your reputation. Then, in verses 49 and 50, John said, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and we forbade him, because he followed not with us. Jesus said, well, don't forbid him, for he that is not against us is for us. He's basically saying in these verses, you need to die to jealousy. Die to jealousy. So many times because of our pride, we get jealous of other people because of their success and their promotions and their significance. But he said, if you really want to be my servant, you got to give all that up. not a jealousy. And then in verses 51 to 56, he's talking about dying to anger. They were on their way to Jerusalem, and the Samaritans were upset at him because he wasn't going to spend any more time with them in their city. And James and John said to the Lord, "Would you like us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume these Samaritans?" Wow. Command fire to come down from heaven and burn this city up? Woo. You know, if you're going to serve the Lord, anger cannot be a part of your ministry. The Bible says the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. And so if you have an anger issue, that needs to be dealt with consistently if you want to be a servant of the Lord's. And then in verses 57, 58, he says you need to die to wealth and die to the desire for possessions. That's when he said foxes have holes, birds have nests, but the Son of Man doesn't have anywhere to lay his head. Die to possessions, die to things, or die to toys. That saying that says the man who dies to the most toys wins. Wins what? You're dead. There may be a difference how many toys you have. And so many times we get wrapped up in materialism to the point that when the Lord asks us to do something or be something or go somewhere, it's our possessions that keep us from being able to say, "Yes, Lord." In fact, the man said to him, "Lord, I will follow you wherever you want to go." And Jesus said, "Do you realize I don't have a place to live? Are you willing to live that kind of a life? Are you willing to die to financial wealth?" And then he said, in verses 59 to 62, die to your personal plans. Die to your personal plans. I had a follower that said, "Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house." Me first. You know, it's hard to say Lord and also me first in the same statement. And what he's saying is, I have plans for you, and my plans have to supersede your plans. You ever had your plans change? Have you ever had your circumstances change so that your plans changed? I've talked to a lot of people down through the years in my 50-some years of ministry. And often they will say, "Well, I used to do this for the Lord, and I used to teach here, and I used to run a bus route, and I used to this, and I used to that. But I don't know. It just kind of fell apart, and I wasn't appreciated like I thought I should have been, and I didn't get the significance or the recognition and whatever. And so I just stopped. I used to." Wow. So the topic of our Bible study is when your starter is broken and you've just reached the point that you just aren't doing it anymore. You're just sitting off to the side, and many of our churches today have that kind of a audience approach to church. They don't even sing anymore. They've got a praise band that does the singing, and they just stand and listen to the praise band. Then they sit down, they listen to the message, and they get up and they walk out. Service for the Lord? No, not so much. Now, all of that has changed in the 50 years that I've been in the ministry. Because my years in the ministry started out when the church growth movement was just gangbusters. I mean, everybody was just saying, "Boy, we've got to do our best, and I'd rather burn out than rust out," and on we go with those old sayings. But the question is, what motivates Christians in 2020? What motivates Christians? Well, Jesus gave us the answer. Die to yourself, take up your cross daily, and follow me. Die to fame. Die to jealousy. Die to anger. Die to the desire for possessions. Die to personal plans. And so, consequently, it's not a message that is well received by a lot of people. Today, A lot of churches think, well, the way to motivate people is to promise them, you know, God has a great plan for your life type of a thing. And they don't like the dying to self scriptures. They appeal to the ego needs of their attendees, you know, your self-esteem and focus on God's blessings only, as opposed to the commands of scripture and the fact that we are in an army and that armies are in battle and it's going to be tough. They're downplaying the whole idea of surrendering your will to the Lord. They promote the idea that, you know, are you entertained? Please yourself. See, all of that sounds great, but it doesn't pass the test of time, because pride will puff them up, and pretty soon pride sets Christians up for defeat. See, the problem is that obedience does not lead to fun, but it will bring joy when we're helping other people find Jesus. And so the idea of promising things doesn't work for a long time. Well, I guess another motivation for Christians is to pay them. Somebody said that's the easiest way to motivate people. You know, salaries may bring a higher level of commitment and accountability. I mean, you don't hear many staff members call in sick on Sunday morning or call in and say, I had company come in, so I can't teach my class today. No. If they're pastoral staff members, they'd come in because they get paid to do it. But it's interesting to look at ex-pastors or folks who used to be Christian school teachers who used to be faithful to all the services and who used to be faithful in tithing. What are they like after they have left those positions? See, that's really the test. That's really the test. Are they doing it anymore for money? No. Well, then the question is, are they doing it anymore? And see, in the church growth movement from 1970 to probably 2000, there were so many alternatives. They couldn't hire everybody on staff, and so consequently, they had to try to motivate people, you know, in other ways. I took over a ministry one time, and they had an idea that if you gave so many dollars in tithes, then when you reached a certain amount, they would give you a cross pen that had the church emblem on the top of it, and everybody could see your cross pen in your pocket, and so everybody in the church would know that you had given that amount of money. It's kind of like a special status type of a thing, you know. You became a partner in the ministry. Special status. A lot of people will do a lot for status. You know, the pastor would write him a letter and thank him for the amount of money they gave in their tithes and offerings, and so they had status with the pastor. Or maybe they put their name on a pew. Special status. That's another way of motivating people. But it doesn't last forever. Next time we'll get together, we'll continue to talk about other ways that Christianity has tried to motivate believers. But what is God's way? What is the motivation that truly lasts a lifetime? I trust you'll join us next time we're together. Until then, may the Lord bless you in a fantastic way.
We hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. If you would like a copy of today's program, have a question we can answer, please contact us at The Word for Life, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. For more info about The Word for Life, to make a donation to help us continue this broadcast, as well as other resources for your Christian walk, visit us at www.thewordforlife.org. Thanks for listening today. Tune in again next time as we bring the Word of God to your life.